Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Pneumatikov. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled Jesus Heals Our Old and Chronic Wounds. I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, beginning at verse 10. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, beginning at verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which man ought to work, in them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord had answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. This is a marvelous clinical case study of the healing power of the Son of God. This is a picture of the kerygma, that is, of the good news of who God is. This is the evangelion personified in the person of Jesus Christ. Please note carefully his tradition that is elucidated for us in verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. The term Sabbath in Hebrew means rest. And it is important to understand, we are told in the book of Hebrews that there remaineth a rest or a Sabbath for the people of God. And so here, the Jesus is instructing those in the synagogue in the Word of God. He knew that in order for persons to be free, it is necessary in the nature of the case for them to hear effectively. That is, to hear with a view to obeying the taught Word of God. He knew that when auditors or listeners avail themselves of what was being heard, then their lives would change. And the change that the scripture teaches is not one of mere enlightenment or maybe intellectual, a little more intellectual insight or a dusting of intellectual comprehension of some topic. That is not the nature of the teaching of Scripture. And Jesus taught it such a way that persons would understand that the Word of God is spiritual food. He taught it such a way that people would understand that they must metabolize this word. They must eat this word. I love the compelling word pictures in the Old Testament. For instance, that's given in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was told to eat this word. And so it is a picture of human metabolism and how when we eat food, good food, nutritious food, then we are nurtured, our bodies are nurtured, our souls are nurtured. In the same way, the Word of God must be assimilated by us. There must be a metabolization of the truth. And so he taught in this very powerful manner. And note in verse 11, we're told, and behold, there was a woman. In the Greek, gune, is the term for woman. There was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. And in the Greek New Testament, it reads pneuma asthenia. And P-N-E-U-M-A is the Greek term for spirit. And the ma suffix means that which is death. And so you see the malignancy or her malignant condition is given to us. And we are given the result also in verse 11 of the spirit of infirmity. And note that she had this spirit of infirmity for 18 years. And she was bowed together. This was her chronic condition. This was some type of scoliosis. And here in the Greek, the term means to bend together. And it speaks, this is a medical word, of course, used by Luke. And it means a curvature of the spine. A curvature of the spine. And it and could in no wise lift up herself. And here it means in the sense of the reversal of her situation, or to unbend, to rise. And figuratively, to be elated or look up. And so, in this very important statement in verse 11, we were given a picture of her condition, the intrinsic deformity of her estate. And so this spirit that she had within her life made her weak or strengthless. And in verse 11, we see that the ace is the consummate diagnostician. Because we read in verse 12, and when Jesus saw her, when he saw her, we read, he called her to him. And so he observed carefully her condition. He saw what this spirit of infirmity had done to her life and how it had bowed her together and created this very devastating and chronic condition in her life for 18 years. And so there's no rejection on his part. There is, on the other hand, in contradistinction to rejection, there is the acceptance. There is the summon that has gone out to her. He bids her come to him. And so he saw and he called. There is the observation, and then there is the effective calling of this individual. And he said to her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." Now, we are not given a proper noun. We are given the common noun, woman. He knows her. And he addresses her. He does not address her condition first, but he addresses her as person. He addresses her as an individual of value. He addresses her. And it is very interesting that when Jesus spoke to this person, he did so in this manner. The simple statement, the simple yet powerful statement, revealed her new condition. Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. He did not ask her if she wanted to be loosed. He knew her heart. And so, thou art loosed, the verb loose, is in the perfect indicative. That is, at a point in time, the new condition started, and it continued on. Indicative means a statement of fact. The passive voice means that she received the action of the verb. Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. So apoluo means to release or to loose. And so she is moved, she is released from the pneuma asthenia, or the spirit of strengthlessness, which refers to a weakness of the whole person. So this weakness was comprehensive, and it created this sickness in her life. And notice the length of time, for 18 years. So, in verse 13, we're told that in addition to what he had done to create this new condition for her, this new situation, we read that he laid his hands on her. And here laid, in the Greek, means to impose his hands upon her in a friendly sense. We aren't given details about where her life had been like for the last 18 years socially. We're not given any information about what others thought of her or said to her, the acceptance or rejection of her condition. None of this is given to us in the scripture, but we have we're given summary information or information that is pertinent to what God wants us to know, and He lays His hands on her. Please understand that there is no rejection with God, and there is no perfect time to come to God. And just think about persons who have the spirit of shame because of their situation. And along with that, those who have the spirit of self-hate because of being sinned against in some heinous manner. It is very important that persons understand that God is the healer, and He accepts our various conditions. Here, in this very dramatic situation, we are shown a person who was bowed over or bowed into. And so there is deformity and the other things that would accompany such a condition that we won't go into at this time. But God accepts us where we are. And God has a new situation for each of us, just as He had a new situation for this individual. Paul writes that if anyone be in Christ, he is new creation, literally, new creation. The old things are passed away, or the ancient things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. This woman's former state was now ancient things, because she had been created new. Genesis chapter 1 is a picture of the old, of that which is ruined, of chaos. It is a picture of the chaos monster that resists, or that resisted, the creative power of God, but who was subsequently overcome by God's creative power. God overcomes the darkness in our lives. God overcomes the chaos monster in our lives. God overcomes the spirit of infirmity, the spirit of strengthlessness in our lives. God makes us new creation. God creates us anew through the power of His Spirit. Note His words. Note the words of the Aces in verse 12. Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. And the Greek word for you is S-O-U. So we have the genitive ending, which shows possession in Greek. Now, he differentiates this woman from her former condition. This spirit of pneuma, this pneuma, I should say, of asthenia, held her bound. And we read in verse 11 that she could in no wise lift her up. Now, God did something marvelous in her life. And notice the context of her healing. He healed her synagogue on the Sabbath day, and instead of glorifying God, Jesus is rebuked in verse 14 for this event. This woman's healing was contrary or outside of a box, as it were, of acceptance. Let me say at this point that everyone is not going to be pleased with your healing. Everyone is not going to be satisfied with the fact that God has made you new. It is radical, and there is going to be that rejection of the source of your healing and you. And so new creation places us in a new condition or situation where we can see what at one point we could not see. And so the rule of the synagogue represents the path. It represents the ancient thing. And so Jesus is rebuked. The Lord answers him in return in verse 15. And so Jesus said to him, called him a hypocrite. He says, you are a pretentious fault finder. Each one of you loose on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? Verse 16, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, and I love this. Oh, I love Jesus, the reply of Jesus that is given to this individual. Ought is a Greek word, dei, D-E-I. That is, it is necessary in the nature of the case that this woman, this particular woman, a daughter of Abraham, the father of faith. And so he brings her healing back into the context of faith and the history of faith. He brings her healing back into the context of Hilkeshetta, that is salvation history. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom the Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And notice, whom Satan hath bound. And in the Greek, the word bound means to fasten with chains or a cord, to fasten, to lock up, to tie up. And notice also, be loosed from this bond, that is, this chain or cord, on the Sabbath day. See, this individual understood some legalistic things about the Sabbath, but not the spirit of the Sabbath. See, God is on our side. God is on the side of our healing. God is on the side of our being lifted up. Now, there are those who want you to remain in your former, in that chronic condition of being bowed together. They want you to remain in that condition, not only for 18 years, but for all of your life, because there's some advantage to be had over you. You can be used and abused. And so they will continue the history of abuse upon you. You and I know this is true. You and I know about the clever ones who do this and who disguise who they really are and their intentions behind polite words, behind that hypocritical face or facade. But down the road, you are people that they impose their hands upon you in a very restrictive and destructive manner. Jesus placed his hands upon her in verse 13 in a friendly manner. He heals her in the context of an antithetical system. We see the antithesis, the creative power of God, and that which is against, on the other hand, that which is restrictive and uncreative, that which is disastrous and seeks to hold us bound. The power of God is there for us all. If God is for us, who can be against us? The power of God is available to you right now. What has you bowed together emotionally? What has you bowed together? What spirit of infirmity is in your life that has been there a long time? Do you want to be free? Then you can go before the EASIS and he will set you free. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. That spirit of infirmity can be healed through the power of God. Take some time today. Take a moment today. Go aside, be alone with God, and tell him where you are and what your spirit of infirmity is and what it has been doing to your life. Cry out to him to remove that spirit of infirmity from you. Let God have it. Lay the spirit of infirmity at the altar. Ask God to make you new creation. And I love that in the Greek because it means fresh. In order to remain so. That is the nature of salvation. That is the nature of what God wants to bring into our lives. That which is fresh and which is to remain so. The Bible tells us that it's God for us who can be. If you have some time today, please read Luke chapter 13, verse 10 to 17, and read Romans chapter 8. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.